The world in which we are living is changing. We hear of robots, we hear of AI replacing workers. In fact, for a while now, it has become pretty much standard that you cannot count on being in the same career till retirement. And I think we all know that. And what it means to be successful in one's career has also become elusive. This comes from Forbes.com. It came out in August 2020. And I quote here, "There are many different reasons so few people ever actually experience career success. And it includes equating accomplishment with career success." But it went on to say that not all accomplished people are successful, and not all successful people are accomplished. And another reason people don't experience career success is they don't take time to define what success actually means to them individually. So we need to ask ourselves, what does success in general, not so much just career success, but what does success in general mean to us? So today we just saw a number of our children going on through life, another year, and they have all been fulfilling one aspect leading to true success, and that of receiving instruction and being educated. I have an old booklet here from 1961, one of these old booklets. It was considered by Mr. Armstrong to be one of his best piece of writings. He had mentioned that a couple of times, that he felt it was very, very helpful. It's called The Seven Laws of Success. And being educated is one of those laws. In the past few decades, hundreds of articles, many books, have been written on the subject of success. But this particular booklet is unique, and it provides some biblical background and understanding of success. So the title of the sermon today is Success Defined. Success Defined. One of the most distinct verses on that topic is found over here in Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1 and verse 8. This is what God, the Lord, spoke to Joshua. These are God's words. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." This is a crucial verse on success defined. The book of the law should not depart from our mouth. It should be the basis for our speech, what we say, to meditate upon it, to think about the principles of wisdom that are in the Word of God, and to observe all that is written, not just pick out a few things, but the entire book, and to follow God's ways. And the result of doing that and following through on that, it says you will make your way prosperous and have good success. So that's a scripture we can look at as our basis for where we're going in the Bible about success defined. Now, in the Hebrew language, the word here, the English word success, comes from the Hebrew word sakal, S-A-K-A-L. Sakal means to be prudent, to be circumspect, to wisely understand. Now that same word is translated differently in other particular verses. Let's look at one other place where it is found in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, beginning in verse 28. Deuteronomy 32, verse 28. For they are a nation void of counsel, referring to Israel, nor is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. If they would just consider the consequences of their actions. So it was an indictment against Israel. They had rejected the ways of God, the knowledge of God. They had no wisdom. The word for understanding here is sakal, same as success. Same word as success, translated as success. There was no, nor is there any success in them. Wisdom. They didn't consider that their actions have the consequences. What we do in life, whatever we do in life, does have an effect on what will happen in the future. Let's look at a description of King David in 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18, and beginning in verse 14. 1 Samuel 18, verse 14. And David behaved wisely in all of his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. And all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. He behaved wisely. Wisely is sakal, S-A-K-A-L. Again, the word means wise, prudent, circumspect, or in the English we've already seen, successful. Successful. Saul noted that about David, that he was wise, that he was successful, and he became afraid of David. Became jealous of David. He actually wanted to kill him, his own son-in-law. He wanted to kill. Israel loved David because Israel could see, apparently, they could see that in his comings and in his goings, he was wise. He was successful. So as we saw back in Joshua 1, good success depends on what we say. What we think, what we do according to God's will. So with this background in mind about success defined, I want to focus on this one way that can lead to the success that the Bible speaks about, and that is to become educated. Now I'd like to quote from this booklet. And I believe there's this one quote, a couple of them, that I believe is so true. I quote, "One thing we need to know about life, and many do not, is that humans do not come equipped with instinct." We need to know something about life that we don't become, that we're not equipped with instinct. And because we are not animals who instinctively know how to do things, they know how to get up and walk or fly. We're not animals. Human beings have to learn, have to be taught how to walk, how to talk, how to eat, how to drink. An overriding point of the booklet was this statement, this comment. And I quote, "One of the first things we need to learn is that we need to learn." One of the first things we need to learn is that we need to learn. One of the great blessings that we have had in this country is mostly a free education. Other countries don't have that as much as we do here. We could learn to read. We can learn to write and at least do basic math. That's how far I got in math. All this other stuff of algebra and geometry, that was just a little bit heavier. But at least basic math, you know, 2 and 2 equals 6. No, it equals four. But if you think about it, Israel had to be quite literate. They had to write the law on their doorposts. How do you write the law on your doorpost if you don't know how to write? How would you know what the writing was on the doorpost if you didn't know how to read? So they had to be taught. They were a very educated people. They were to read what the law stated. They had to understand what words meant. They had to understand what the words of the kings and the prophets were as they were spoken. They had to have some very knowledgeable understanding of definitions of words. They had to know math. They had to know how to count 50 days so that they could keep one of the holy days. They had to learn how to count. They had to determine a tithe of their grain, a tithe of their wine and oil. They had to know the right weights and measures to use and not to cheat. They had to know what was right and what was wrong, and they, especially when it came to measuring. The Israelites were educated in the basic reading, basic writing, and basic arithmetic, as we would say. In order to function in this world, we need to have some basic education and to do well in whatever job we get into. We may have to have more specific education and teaching. And that specialized training can come in all different ways. Some through college, some through tech school, some through even certificate programs. There's all different kinds of ways to have some specialized training. And many learn on the job. And that's tremendous training as well, to be able to learn on the job. I remember one time that, I think I mentioned this, that when I was a teenager, I was looking for a job, and I went into a tool and die shop, and I said, I'd like to work. And the boss said, sure. Here's a broom, and here's a dust can. The thing you shovel up the dirt. So here it is. Go around and clean up the floor. You know, wash the windows. So I did that. And I did it in half the day. And I said, I'm all done. He was surprised. And then he said, would you like to learn how to operate all these machines? I said, yeah. And he taught me how to run and operate every one of those machines in a tool and die place. And so I knew how to run them. And he put me on projects. I was only about 16 or 17. It was fascinating to me. And to be able to use the micrometer and all that, those things, those tools. I learned on the job. I'd never had training in that. I'm also reminded about my dad. He only had an eighth grade education. But he learned a trade from my grandfather. And my grandfather was a painter and a carpenter. And my grandfather happened to be one of Al Capone's contract painters. I don't know if man means anything or not, but anyway, the point is that he learned a trade from my grandfather. He did take some classes at an electrical school. And what he did in the evenings was something I never did. And I've not heard of anyone who did this, but we had an 11-volume set of the Compton's Encyclopedia. And what he did is he went through each page in each volume and read every entry in those encyclopedias. And he was self-taught. It was amazing how much information he gathered. He was a very quick reader, and he recognized the need to learn, and he kept learning. So there's many ways in how we can learn. I just wanted to mention those different ways that are available in these days. And then once he was called into the church, he learned more than anything he had learned before in any of all these other jobs that he went through, and learned what we all know and should be knowing. Proverbs has a lot to say about the connection of being educated and success. Let's look at a couple of these Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs 16, verse 20. Proverbs 16, verse 20. Proverbs 16 and verse 20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent. Sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of him who has it. Understanding is a wellspring. Behaving wisely leads to success. Wisely. Finding good, being prudent. The heart of the wise teaches one to say the right words. There must be a source of that understanding, the spiritual understanding. And that source has to be taught to us, and we have to learn that information. The source of that knowledge comes from God. Notice Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 1. Proverbs 3, verse 1. Let's just read these verses here. My son, don't forget my law. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. That's because of the wicked. Because if they do not sleep... Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. Proverbs 4, verse... Oh, I skipped a verse here. I went to Proverbs 4. I'm sorry, I didn't finish. It's been an interesting day. I'm still here. I just messed up my notes. Verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Verse 21, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your soul, grace to your neck, and you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. And don't be afraid of sudden terror nor trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So God's given us a tremendous source of wisdom to go through life. We need to keep our eyes on Him and learn from Him. Now we come to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 10. Hear my son and receive my sayings. The years of your life will be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Don't let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Don't neglect it. This is the most powerful instruction there is on the earth that comes from God's words. And we can't get this instruction from what the world offers. It has to come from God, and it's quite readily available to us in his words. Let's look at Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, verse 9. Proverbs 9 and verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man and he'll be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. A wise man is going to become wiser when he receives instruction. Increase in it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we have to have that as a foundation. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, your years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you bear it alone. Wisdom is going to help each of us individually, and each of us individually will have the success that is defined by the Bible, and has to be wise in the eyes of God. And that involves reading, hearing, and applying the words of God. Notice what David asked from God in Psalm 119, verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. David wrote a number of the hymns and psalms, and he had a really deep understanding of God. And yet he still says, teach me your statutes. You could ask God, teach me more of your way of life, how I should live. Verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment. Teach me knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Part of that psalm, and it's stated twice. It shows where David's mind was at. No matter how much he knew about God, he asked for more information. He asked for his statutes to be given him. Good judgment. We all need good judgment. We all need knowledge. And you and I can do the same. We can ask God for the same. We can also learn from Jesus Christ's words as well. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We live in a stress-filled world. It is stressful. There's an indication that even when there is a change within the church, and here we have, you know, a different change coming up here shortly, that on the stress scale, that can add 30 points to stress in life, even some changes that occur within the church. The things that are going on in the world, we all know about. We don't have to rehearse them here, but I think we all understand. It's getting very difficult. And sometimes it's hard to remain positive. And God says, or Jesus says, come to me, those of you who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And he tells us how to do it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. Because I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So what Jesus is saying is, all that's going on in our lives, whatever it is, and there are so many people facing so many different issues in life and health issues as well, and it can get to us. And so what we need to do is do what Jesus said. Come to him and ask him for help. And when we do this, learn from me. Learn from Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ is the epitome of success defined. His example in how we lived is the best teaching and instruction we can have. In the September-October 2021 issue of Discern Magazine, a new section was added to the Discern Magazine. And it was titled, Walk as He Walked. And I want to quote from that first article, just a couple of sentences here. The new series is inspired by the Apostle John's words in 1 John 2, verse 6, which says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. It goes on to say, these words, walk as he walked, encapsulates Christianity in its most basic and pure form. In order to live and practice genuine Christianity, we must learn from the example of the one whose life defines it. In order to live and practice genuine Christianity, we must learn from the example of the one whose life defines it, Jesus Christ, end quote. That ties in with what Matthew said. It ties in with what Jesus said. Learn from me, from Jesus. And again, we need to remember to learn the fact that we need to learn. We need to learn. And what better teacher do we have than Jesus Christ? You know, the gospel is filled with lessons that Jesus taught his disciples. They're all written down for us. There are hundreds and hundreds of verses showing what he taught. And people listened, and they were astonished at his teachings. Now, I haven't done this yet, but I was thinking that this would be pretty much a fascinating study. And that study would be to go through the Gospels. And I was thinking, even this morning, that it might be good to go through a harmony of the Gospels where they put them all together, the same topic together, and write down on a piece of paper every instruction that Jesus taught. Every instruction that Jesus taught. I mean, there's so much on the Sermon on the Mount itself that this study would probably fill dozens and dozens of pages, maybe even notebooks or two. I thought that would be a pretty good study. Let's look at one example, Matthew 7, verse 12. Matthew 7 and verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, we've heard that around. We've heard that, you know, if we want someone to treat us nicely, then we better treat them nicely. This is an instruction from Jesus Christ. This is a lesson in wisdom. Whatever you want men to do, do also to them. This is the law. And the That's just one. And so we'll go on down to verse 24. And we see how he concludes the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. So you got to hear them and do them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Where is our foundation? Is our foundation based on the rock, on the teachings of Jesus Christ? Or are they being, let's say, compromised by some of what is going on in the world around us and some ideas that's going on out there? Where is our foundation? Is it totally on the rock? You know, this is describing a successful life, a life of wisdom. A wise man who listens and does the teachings will be successful. As we heard earlier, people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. A lot of people don't have the knowledge that God has been so mercifully given to us. He's given us some tremendous knowledge. And we have to search for more. And this is one way we could do that. But we also must remember where the words of Jesus came from. And keep this in mind in John 7, verse 14. John 7, verse 14. Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied? He grew up as a carpenter, but he had God, of course, as his father." Does this man know? Never studied. But he taught. And here is a very important statement. Jesus said and answered them, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." Everything that we see Jesus teaching, every instruction that he gave, comes from God. He was the mouthpiece of God as the Word, and before he became flesh in the New Testament, and in the New Testament, he was teaching God. God's ways, the doctrines, the teachings were all from God. Everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus taught was all from God. And therefore, we have to learn from Jesus. And when we learn from Jesus, in reality, we're learning from God. And that gives us the success in life. Receiving an education is key to success. Not only in physical knowledge in some ways, you know, when it's necessary for specialized training, but more in spiritual knowledge. We cannot neglect that. It doesn't matter whether we are in an unfulfilling job or whether we're just, you know, a laborer, or whether we're wealthy with a tremendous executive job. It doesn't matter. We need to think about that. What really matters? What really matters is that we all need to be educated in the way Jesus lived. All in how he lived. We learn from him. And yes, it's helpful in this world to have some extra education we need, and that's true. And I'm not putting that down. It's just, what is our priority? Our priority. What do we want to really be wise in? And I believe that if we do this, if we really, really emphasize more in our lives to learn from Jesus Christ, who received all that information from God, I believe as we do that, we would call that success defined.